It's time for the Warrior Way podcast, brought to you by Winona State Athletics and Layton Media, hosted by Liam Statz.
Welcome back to another episode of The Warrior Way, produced by the Fan Winona. I'm your host, Liam Statz. Our first ever returning guest, it's head coach Brian Curtin of the Warriors football team. Welcome in, coach.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you back. Since we last talked, the Warriors finished over 500 for the first time since 2022 in your first year behind the helm. So congratulations, first and foremost.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a exciting end of the season as well, with a pretty good thumping of Southwest Minnesota. That was a pretty good game to watch. I actually got to be on the field to kind of see all the warm-ups for that game as well. You know, keeping the hammer here in Minnesota, or in Winona, I guess, you know, got to be exciting.
Yeah, you need some of those games. There's not a lot of them in our league, you know. There's a lot of closely battled, high-stress games, and it's just nice. It was nice to get out in front and get a lead.
Yeah, and like I said, with that win, you guys finished over 500 for the first time since 2022. I think, you know, going into this season, it's your first season as the head coach, you know, at charge, you know, behind the wheel. Was that one of your goals, to just get them back into the winning side of 500?
No, that's not the goal here. At least that's not what it's going to be while I'm here, is just to be above 500. But it was a step, you know, after 2 years of being under 500, it was definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, seems like it. And seems like now, like you said, like a step in a building block. You guys have hired a couple of new faces onto the coaching lineup. Why don't we go ahead and talk about those guys? First on the list, we have Kendrick Van Akeren. He was the defensive coordinator and of defensive backs as well. He joined the Warriors this spring. He was the Northwestern State defensive backs coach for a season after spending two seasons as a defensive coordinator at Arkansas Tech. How did you kind of come across Kendrick?
I met him through Coach Tooley, who's on staff, and I don't know, he's one of those guys, once you sit down and talk to him, you kind of knew he was the right guy for the job. He has really good energy, good football mind. Just in the short time he's been here, he's been able to relate to players and make connections, and at the same time be able to hold him to a standard. So I'm excited about what he's bringing to our staff, and I'm extremely confident in that hire.
How do you think he's going to kind of revitalize the defensive back part of the game?
Just kind of starting from scratch, and that's one of the areas where we got to improve. And I think we have some good young players in the mix there. And, you know, we're still always looking to bring a couple guys in to solidify that group. We definitely need like to find just a little bit of experience in that group that could help us, you know. Right now in the spring, we got a lot of young guys playing. We had a couple guys that played a good amount of football for us last year that had some off-season surgery and things like that. So they're not out there. So it's a lot of really good work for some guys. And I think the older guys that are out are doing a nice job of learning some of the new stuff that we're going to do. And, you know, I think they'll be ready to play.
Yeah. Second on the list, we've got Nick Holton, who's going to be coming in as the offensive line coach. He was previously at McKendree for the past four seasons as the offensive line coach. He was also the run game coordinator for a couple of years post that, and then added the offensive coordinator duties to his role with the Bearcats in 2025. How did you come across Nick?
Nick worked with Nick Miller in the past, and I'm sure we'll get to it, but Nick Miller will be our offensive coordinator. And I, you know, that's a critical hire for an offensive coordinator, to have a guy that he's comfortable with and that understands the system and the changes that we're going to make on that side of the ball. I met with probably four or five different offensive line coaches, and Nick really, he kind of rose to the top of that group easily. Even, you know, the connection with Coach Miller was great. But at the end of the day, you know, we're going to hire the best guy available. And just, again, very similar, like I was saying with Kendrick, is he does a really good job of relating to players and being able to push them and coach them. And it's great to have another guy that has coordinator experience that can bring stuff to that offensive staff room, ideas and things like that.
Kind of seems like offensive line was the heartbeat of a couple of good Warriors teams. Is that a step that you are looking to kind of take back almost?
Yeah, you got to be good up front. It all starts there with your offensive line. And again, that's a place that's been a little bit of a work in progress the last couple of years, and something that I've felt that we needed to put a priority on. It doesn't matter how much skill you have out there and talented players. If you can't block the people up front, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. I know that the Booster Club, and I'm unfortunately forgetting the name of them right now, I even had an interview.
The Football Players Association.
Thank you so much. They just donated a sizable chunk for a couple of knee braces for the offensive guys up front, which I know is going to kind of help in the long run. So seems like there's a lot of support behind the big guys at the line, and I think that that's just really cool to see.
Yeah, we had those last year, and I think, you know, that took a lot of work from a lot of people in that group, and along with Stacy Shapleski, that was part of it, our athletic trainer. But they really spearheaded that part of, you know, that program for us. And I watched in practice it save at least one guy. Our starting left tackle, Pat Wright, had someone roll up on his leg, and without that knee brace, it wouldn't have been a good deal. So, yeah, that's been big for us.
Already seeing it kind of the fruits of the labor come to
no doubt.
Finally, in terms of new coaches, we have Linehan, okay, is the new wide receivers coach. He served at Idaho as their offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach last season, after spending three seasons with the wide receivers for the Vandals. He brings a lot of experience with him, and I mean, same question, how did you discover him?
A guy I worked with in the past, Jason Eck, was looking to hire guys, and Jason, I think, either worked with him or coached him. I can't quite remember. I know they worked together a little bit, I think. And he reached out to me right away, said, I got a guy, that Jason ended up hiring another friend of ours, and said, if he would have turned us down, I was going to hire Matt. So really had a really good, group of guys that I interviewed, and Matt kind of stood up to the top. I mean, there was some pretty big names in there, which would be a lot of people who we were talking to and where they were at. Matt came highly regarded from Jason, and really, I think he stood out in his interview. And again, I think he's going to be another guy with coordinator experience in that room that can bring ideas from a similar system and things that we're planning on doing. So I think that's, you know, just some. Having multiple guys with coordinator experience in that room is pretty great.
Yeah, because, you know, when everybody puts their minds to it, you can come up with some pretty amazing schemes, especially for a lot of tough opponents in the NSIC. In terms of returning coaches, you have obviously Coach Miller. He will be the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. He transitions to the offensive coordinator role while retaining the quarterbacks under his coaching. Was that just kind of the natural next step for Coach Miller, or was that something that you kind of thought of and thought he would be a good fit for?
Definitely thought when I hired him, you know, I had hired him with the thought that, you know, he would be the next guy when that time would come. It's hard. You want your offensive coordinator to be the guy that works with the quarterbacks, at least in my experience. I think it just makes things a little bit smoother.
Yeah. So it just kind of was a natural joining of the roles, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. Ryan Tooley, he's now the run game coordinator and defensive line coach. He came to Winona State a couple of years ago. He was the defensive line coach the past two seasons. Kind of a weird pairing, but I can kind of see the vision, you know, with him being a defensive line coach. He kind of knows how they're going to react to a prominent run game. So with him now being the run game coordinator, he's able to kind of see both sides of the ball.
Yeah, you know, he's going to be in charge of stopping the run on the defensive side of the ball along with KVA. But he has a lot of experience too, in that, you know, he's coached the D-line for quite a few years now, played linebacker in college. So he has a really good idea of the front seven, those kind of things. And that's something that, that Kendrick really wanted to do when he came here, and just, you know, wanted to give Ryan a little more responsibility in those things. And I think that's a good step for him in his career and his development too. So,
yeah. You also retained Devin Detloff, Nixon Heggie, and Dean O'Brien. So all in all, just a very prominent staff, it seems like, you know, full of guys who have stuck around, who are now transitioning into other roles, and then new additions kind of shoring up those spots in the coaching staff from last season. What is the step for this staff that you foresee this next season?
Just continue to grow and you know, I think the big thing for us, especially the new guys, right, get to know our players, get to know what they're good at, what they do best, develop relationships with those guys so that they can push them and get the most out of them. That's really, you know, the best part of the biggest step those guys got to make right now in a short amount of time, along with, you know, some of those guys getting familiarity with the other guys on staff and those kind of things, and they've all gelled pretty quickly. So it's been really good.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's like the air of excitement kind of in that coaching room now and on campus, it seems like.
Yeah, no doubt.
Transitioning here to the start of the season, you guys are having your spring game on April 25th. So in here in a couple of weeks, tell me a little bit about that spring game.
You know, I don't really know what it's going to look like yet with, you know, almost two and a half weeks of spring practice left. A lot of that will depend on health of the football team and depth in certain positions and things like that. You know, our numbers are back to a little bit more of like a normal spring where we don't have 110 guys on our roster right now. And we got some guys that were, you know, out this spring just because of off-season surgeries, and all guys that will be ready and they're getting, you know, they're doing more and more every day. But, you know, when we get into live situations or any 11-on-11 or competition, those guys aren't out there. So as we get into that week, we'll really look at where we're at and do what's best for our football team. You know, I think it's, you know, everybody loves, not everybody, but some people love football and they get that little taste in the spring. We usually get a good amount of people out there. So we want to put something on for, you know, the Winona community, our students and those kind of things. But at the same time, we got to do what's best for our football team. So we're ready to play when we get to the fall. You know, you're seeing that change, even Division I with, you know, just they put it on TV and there's not nearly as much tackling and those kind of things. And it's really just, you know, trying to take care of your players and in your roster. So
yeah, especially with how grueling some seasons can be now with, you know, some seasons expanding, you know, new opponents coming in and more travel now, especially with the addition of Jamestown and UMary. You guys are going to be traveling quite a bit. Just seems kind of like it's good. It's more so like a practice, but more so kind of for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you're trying to put your program on display the best you can. And you know, you're giving guys an opportunity to play in front of people that maybe don't get to play a lot of football. You know, and it creates a situation for younger guys that maybe haven't played in a game or, you know, guys that redshirted last year to get in front of people. It's been a long time and see how they handle that extra stress or excitement, however you want to look at it, of kind of a game day. You can simulate all those things, but at the same time, you want to get out of there healthy. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I get out there in the spring game and that's all I want. I want to look like football. You know, I want to get better, but man, I just want to get out of there healthy when it's all said and done. Cause there's been years we've lost some good players for the season in the spring game. And that was quite a while ago. And as a coach, sometimes those things stick in your head.
They'll haunt you.
Yes.
Yeah. Now I can definitely see that. Like you said, you know, these D1 programs doing the same thing where they kind of scale it back a little bit. You know, there's not full tackling, kind of, you know, just going through motions, going through schemes, just seeing what people can do and not really wanting to put too much stress on your players early.
And the players hate it.
Yeah. Because you know, they want to play. Yeah.
You know, they just want, you know, they want to go live. They want to tackle all the time. And you got to protect them from themselves to a certain extent.
Yeah. It's like you as a coach, you're just sitting there going, like, whenever you see a big hit, you're just like, you know, like you take an extra breath or something like that and yeah, just kind of hold it.
Sometimes it's not the big hits. It's the piles and the weird. It's just some of the awkward stuff. And you just want everybody to get up.
Yeah. Nobody limping. No. Yep. Everybody good. All right. Yep. Yeah. Well, that, you know, that spring game is on April 25th. It'll be held here on that Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. You know, like you said, just a good kind of first look at the season. And then you guys kick off the season actually on the 27th of August against Division I University of St. Thomas. And kind of before we talk about that game, I have a question. Was that game scheduled before or after they became Division I?
Oh, after.
After.
Yeah,
okay.
That just got done about a month and a half ago or something.
Oh, cool.
Just trying to find games is not easy right now. A lot of the other, trying to find someone that's not ridiculously far away, and someone that, you know, is willing to play some of the teams from our league. Our league is one of the better leagues, and, you know, our league, the MIAA, the GLIAC, are some of the, you know, higher end Division II football leagues in the country, and it's really hard for those three teams, right? Those three leagues to find games. I think Mankato just found a game. Like,
really?
They were really struggling.
That's surprising almost. Would you say that's kind of like the onset of like the NIL era where people aren't really trying to,
Well, I think it comes down to now there's an automatic qualifier for some of the leagues that are not as, looked at as good. I'm not saying they're not, I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
But less maybe, I don't expect it, but however they're looked upon, right?
Yeah.
They're going to get a team in if they get the record right. Like, someone from that league's going. So it's like, why bother? Where when the NSIC didn't have some of the teams and there was the NCC, we were considered a second tier league to that. So some of our best years, we had to go play people. We went and played the MIAA. We went and played some of these we had to, because there was no automatic qualifier at that time. Now some people don't have to do that.
Mm.
And I think the other hard part is our open dates are week 7 and week 0. Well, week 0 puts a lot of stress on budgets because you got to feed your team another week in the camp and do all those things. So some of those, people don't want to play week 0. And then week 7, their conference schedules are going. So it's been challenging.
Something I kind of didn't realize, especially post a division, but you can see it pretty much at every division level now that you mentioned it, where teams are like, they don't want to play outside of their conference. They don't want to play it. Like, FBS schools don't want to play FCS schools because it might affect their record. If somebody manages to pull off an upset or for whatever reason, people are afraid that that's going to affect their chance of potentially playing for a championship. So they would rather not do it. And then the true loser there is all these schools who are, they need an opponent. They can't find it. And then fans and players who don't get that experience.
Yep. So it was a challenge. And we found the St. Thomas game made sense as far as it's close. We have a good alumni base in the cities. I think people really want to see us back up in that area playing a game, and much rather play at home. But it worked out, and it's going to be a good game for us.
Yeah, not a challenging people in Winona, that much of challenging a drive to make. It's still very makeable, especially on a Saturday. So going to be fun no matter what. I mean, St. Thomas is also a pretty good program, making that jump from Division III to Division I. They had a lot of success kind of at the Division III level trying to find it at the Division I. So they have something to prove, and so do the Warriors. And I think, like you said, it's just going to be a fun game for everybody.
Yep.
Then you guys have the NSAC opener that following Thursday, September 3rd. That'll be against Northern State University at Northern State University. Should be a lot of fun. But what's it like logistically wise and on the players being away for the first two games of the season?
I don't think it matters. We go away too, because it's week 0, it doesn't feel like you're like into October. It's almost still the second week of September when you're playing. So it's almost like you just had one game on the road and come back. I don't know. I don't think it matters.
Yeah, just kind of like
we go back to back on the road a lot, and it's just whatever.
Yeah, okay. And then for the home opener, that's Saturday, September 12th. You guys are going to play Jamestown. It's their first ever meeting between the two programs.
Yep.
So that's got to be a little exciting.
Yeah, I at this point, I don't really know anything about them. Obviously, we get in the summer, we'll start looking at the film of those guys, but I really have no idea what they do. We didn't really have much crossover with teams last year. We didn't watch a lot of their film. I saw a little bit of it last year. So I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, no, just it's easy because I'm speaking like this is going to happen in the next couple of weeks, but there's still almost 4 or 5 months until we get into the September, October, and kind of in the midst of the season. But
yeah, it's all about us right now, and that's all the film we watch is us, and just trying to get that little bit better every day right now.
Yeah. Final question for you. Any big transfers, any people transferring out, transferring in, or have you kind of retained a good group of core minus the seniors that graduated?
I think we kept most of our core, we brought in a couple guys, at some positions, and we'll see, how they do. But, it's modern day football. I'm not going to lose, I don't want guys leaving. I hate it. And sometimes that's just optics and whatever, but it's modern day college football. You don't have to like it. There's nothing I'm going to do about it. You're going to try to retain guys. I'm not. Yeah. You can't lose sleep over who's coming, who's going. You just got to do the best you can to develop relationships and make guys want to be a Warrior and want to be here. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to win with the guys we got here. You just saw a national championship in basketball, one with five transfers starting. I think that I don't love it, but it is what it is, and I'm not going to change it. So we got to find the best way to operate in the new college football landscape, but not lose the identity of who we are and what we've been doing here for a long time that's been successful.
Perfect, Coach. I don't have any other questions kind of regarding that. We talked about the season, kind of how the last season went and the new coaching hires. So anything else you want to highlight for this team?
No, I just think, you know, we're hard at work trying to get better. Excited about the guys that we brought in on staff and some of the new players. I think we had a nice recruiting class again. Again, focusing on the guys up front. I'm trying to get better there. And we'll be working hard to find a couple more pieces of the puzzle here when we get out of spring practice.
Perfect, Coach. Thank you so much for coming on once again. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Warrior Way podcast, brought to you by Winona State Athletics and Layden Media. Tune in next time for more exciting WSU sports talk and news.